Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. Thank you for your invitation. Jem and I always love coming to Wantage. We're always made to feel very welcome and blessed. You're a very loving and thoughtful congregation, so we do love being with you. And hopefully this morning I will be blessed, and hopefully you will be blessed as well. We're going to turn in our Bibles to a passage in Mark, Mark chapter 2. It's on page 707, if you've got one of these blue chapel Bibles, 707. I'm going to start at verse 23 of Mark chapter 2. We read there, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to them, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you have given it to us. We thank you that we are free in this land to read it aloud and together. Lord, we just pray that you'd speak to it, speak to us through it this morning, that you would take what we hear and apply it to our hearts and then into our lives, that we might live lives that please you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, although we will be referring to that passage a little later on, perhaps you'd like to turn to our main passage this morning, which is found in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 on page 55, if you've got a church Bible. Because today we're going to be taking a look at the fourth commandment. Recently, we've been going through a series on the Ten Commandments at our church in Norwich, and I felt that during our time with you, it might be a good idea just to take a look at this particular one together. Now, for many Christians, if there's one thing that we'll all agree on, is that this particular commandment is very controversial. And yet, just like all of the other commandments that God has given us, it was given to us in order to be a blessing rather than a curse. In fact, it's one of only two commandments that begin with a positive encouragement rather than a negative prohibition. You know, the kind of thing, don't do this and don't do that. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, we're instructed, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Now this is a really good principle. The Bible makes it clear, doesn't it, that for 6 days of the week we can work, but we really need to set aside at least one day a week when we don't. Now, this doesn't mean that all of our activity ceases on that day, But that whatever we've been doing during those last 6 days, we rest from on the seventh day. God's word continues. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. And so we see here that everyone was to receive this blessing. It was all-encompassing. Whoever you were, it didn't matter whether you were a servant, whether you were the master. So much so that even the animals were able to enjoy a day of rest too. So why? Well, this all goes back to the time of creation and the pattern that God set for us way back then. We're told in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 that by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. Now, I wonder whether you've ever thought about why God created the world in 6 days. After all, he could have created it in an instant, couldn't he? In the twinkling of an eye. He could have created it in 6 seconds. He could have taken 6 weeks to create it. So why didn't he? Why did he take 6 days to do the job? Well, God did it with a deliberate purpose in mind. He was setting out a pattern for us to follow. 6 days of work were to be followed by one day of rest. According to Genesis 2 and verse 1, after 6 days of making everything, it was all finished and God rested. He stopped creating. Not because he was tired or that he couldn't think of anything else to make, but because he decided in his divine eternal plan that everything would be accomplished by day six, and that by the dawning of the seventh day, there would be nothing else left to do. And in this, God has set a deliberate pattern for us to follow. 6 days of work and then a day off. And this day is designated as a special day, as a holy day. A day consecrated to God and set apart from all the other days of the week. So let's just get things into a historical context, first of all. Before we go forward and look at what it means for us today, let's just think back at what it was back then, what it meant to the Israelites. What did the Sabbath mean to the Israelites? Well, for the Israelites, the Sabbath was particularly special for a number of reasons. First of all, it was a sign of a covenant between them and God. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 16, God says there, "The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever." And so the Sabbath was a sign of an agreement between God and his people. And actually, as you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that as the Israelites were following God, they kept the Sabbath, but as soon as they started to stray away from God, then they didn't keep the Sabbath. It was quite a telltale sign of where they were in their relationship to God. So it was a covenant between them and God. But as well as that, keeping the Sabbath also gave the Israelites an opportunity to reflect on God's goodness to them. We need to remember at this point, of course, that when the Ten Commandments were first given to these Israelites, the people had recently come out of slavery in Egypt, hadn't they? Well, it's more than likely they wouldn't have had an opportunity for a day off. Yet here is God, having set them free, and he's giving them one day a week where they can enjoy a day off. He set them free. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15 says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So it was a covenant, it was a time to reflect. And then also for the Israelite, the Sabbath was a special day of worship. Just turn with me, if you would, to Numbers, chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Numbers chapter 28. It's on page 118. And there you'll see in Numbers chapter 28 that in verse 3, that on other days of the week, the Israelites worshipped God by bringing him two lambs as a burnt offering. But on the Sabbath, as you can see there from verse 9, they made additional offerings, also presenting a drink offering and a grain offering. In other words, that on the Sabbath day, the Israelites effectively doubled their worship. And this meant, of course, that the Levites, those in charge, and the priests would have had to double their work. They would have been working twice as hard on the Sabbath day, which is interesting, isn't it? And yet, of course, as far as the Lord is concerned, true worship is to be a joy and not a burden. So very briefly, what the Sabbath meant for the Israelites is that it was a sign of a covenant, whilst also serving as a time to reflect on God's goodness and their freedom by taking a well-earned break. And then also it was a day to set aside, to worship God even more than they did on other days. Okay, but what does the Sabbath mean for us today? What does it mean in today's world? You see, some people would say, and maybe you've heard people say this, that since Jesus came, the Sabbath day no longer applies. And they may actually argue that Jesus never endorsed the Sabbath. If anything, they'd say that he downgraded it by deliberately healing people on the Sabbath as something that was regarded as work. We read about two occasions of that happening in Mark chapter 2, didn't we, and 3. But before we jump to any conclusions and claim that Jesus was against keeping the Sabbath, we need to actually remember why Jesus reacted to the Pharisees the way he did. The Pharisees, you see, had invented many petty laws in order to make sure that no one broke the fourth commandment. In his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, a guy called Alfred Eidersheim says that the Pharisees provided for every possible and impossible case. They entered into every detail of private, family, and public life, and with iron logic, unbending rigor, and the most minute analysis, they pursued and dominated man, laying on him a yoke which was truly unbearable. And nowhere was that truer than in the laws that they made up in order to protect the Sabbath. Here are just some examples of the way in which they added to God's law. For instance, you weren't allowed to travel more than 200 cubits from home on a Sabbath, which is about half a mile to you and me. Then also on the Sabbath, women weren't allowed to wear any jewelry, otherwise that was considered as a bit of a burden. Or if you cut your finger, you could always put a piece of cloth around it to stem the bleeding. But if you suspected that by doing this, you would be helping the healing process, then this would be breaking the fourth commandment. And as you can imagine, the rules became even more and more ridiculous. To the extent that you could throw something up in the air with one hand, but you weren't allowed to catch it with another hand, otherwise that would be considered as work as well. You had to catch it with the same hand. So that's the background to the culture into which Jesus came. A culture in which the Pharisees had added to God's law, and in doing so had kind of lost the plot with it all. So instead of being a day of rest as God had originally intended, the Sabbath now weighed people down with a long list of do's and don'ts. And so, having been criticized by the Pharisees for picking a few heads of corn to eat on the Sabbath, the Lord Jesus responds by saying, "Have you forgotten that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath?" In other words, the Sabbath was designed for the benefit and well-being of men and women. It wasn't to become a burden to them. So we see from all of this that it wasn't the Sabbath law that Jesus was seeking to correct here. That wasn't what he was trying to do. He was rather trying to correct the overzealous constraints that those Pharisees had put upon it. But then again, what about today? Haven't things changed? After all, we no longer observe the Sabbath from a Friday to a Saturday evening, as the Jews did, do we? As Christians, we celebrate it on a Sunday, and it's become known as the Lord's Day rather than the Sabbath. And of course, this is because a Sunday is the day of our Lord's resurrection, as you'll be looking at this evening. And what better day to celebrate and meet than on the day that Jesus rose from the dead? Incidentally, Sunday is also the day in which the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost. And we're told a little bit further on in the book of Acts that the early church also met on this first day of the week. And so for all of these reasons, we celebrate the Lord's Day on a Sunday rather than a Saturday. We know the day may have changed, but the principle hasn't. The fact is that God has still given us a cycle of 6 days to do our work and one day to rest. And he's done this for a very good reason. Because this one day of rest also provides us with a better opportunity to reflect on our spiritual lives and to worship God. Now, it has to be noted, I suppose, at this point that it is very difficult for some people to keep Sunday special. There are times, for example, when our employment requires us to work on the Lord's Day. In this case, we have to face up to the fact that we're no longer living in the day when God's laws are the only ones we have to abide by. And it has to be said that first century Christians weren't in this privileged position either. For instance, a Christian slave wasn't able to go to his master, knock on the door and say, "Excuse me, but I'm a Christian now, so you're going to have to bring in someone else to work on a Sunday from now on." Now, of course, for some of us, we can still make that sort of demand. We can perhaps still change our shifts, and where that's possible, maybe we should make an effort to. But it's not always going to be so. Many are faced with the choice of taking a job that causes them to have to work on a Sunday, or having no job at all and not being able to support themselves or their families. And let's appreciate that in all of this, we can't be the conscience of another man or woman in these sorts of dilemmas. Individual people that find themselves in these situations need to be at peace in their own hearts before the Lord in matters such as this. As Colossians 2 verse 16 says, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." Then in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul puts it like this: "One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord." That's to say, it's more about who we worship than when we worship. It's more important that we get a day off than we argue about which day that is. The fact is that for every Christian, each day should be holy. But this commandment shows us that there should be at least one day in the week where the worship of God is more important than our demanding boss, our travel plans, the TV schedule, our essay writing, the building project, or whatever it might be. Now, I could go on, but I just want to focus for the remainder of our time together on the privileges of this special day. So often I find in church we see the Sabbath day as a bit of a duty. And because of that, many people have developed rather a negative attitude toward it. Oh no, not Sunday again. But God gave us the fourth commandment, to be a joy, not a burden, not a duty. So why should we keep this day special? Three things. First of all, as we've already mentioned, it's a day of rest. And for lots of people, at the end of a hard working week, this may well be the most welcome aspect of the fourth commandment. I mean, who amongst us doesn't long for at least one day in the week where we can just put our everyday commitments to one side and just have a time to just chill out? Exodus 20 and verse 12 expands upon God's plan for the nation when it says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. The word Sabbath actually means rest. And here the wealthy landowner is told to take a day off for three reasons. Firstly, so that he himself can rest. Secondly, so that his animals, which would have been used during the week to presumably do things like pulling ploughs along, could have a whole day free just to spend grazing in a field somewhere. And then thirdly, so that his servants could have a break too. Presumably, if the landowner wasn't working, then his servants wouldn't need to either. As we said before, observing the Sabbath is all-embracing. It allows everyone to recharge their batteries so that they can better cope with the rest of the week. And so this instruction, far from being a burden, is intended to be for our good, for our benefit. Because the fact is that we can all become slaves to our work, can't we? Modern slavery isn't about being chained up somewhere. Modern slavery is about doing, isn't it? Working all hours. Whilst on the other hand, the Sabbath is God's slavery solution. It's his remedy. This is God's divine instruction for us to take a break, for us to declutter our diaries. You know, this command really causes us to ask ourselves, doesn't it? What might need to go in my life if I'm going to be able to set this one day aside? What can I do without in my life? For instance, is it really important that I drive around in a really immaculate car or have a really tidy house all the time? I'm not trying to make excuses for my van or my house, but is it really that important? Or do our children really need to attend all of those groups after school and activities that we end up driving them to and from? Do I really need that extra qualification that I've been studying for week after week and year after year? Or could I really do without it? A big house, posh car, nice clothes, lots of holidays. All of these things, they cause us to work, don't they? And earn as much money as we can. And if we're honest with ourselves, then much of it is to do with impressing other people, isn't it? But you know, God, he's looking down and he's saying, wait a minute, take a break. Do you really need all of this stuff? You know, what happened to trusting me for all of your needs? Which leads us to our next point, in that it's not only a day to rest, but it's also a day to reflect. For the Old Testament Jew, the Sabbath was a day to remember two particular acts of God. The first was creation, and the second was redemption. In Exodus 20, verse 11, the people were told to observe this day. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And we too need a day when we can reflect and concentrate on our awesome and holy Creator, don't we? And the Sabbath was also a day in which to remember the God, that God had redeemed his people. When the Ten Commandments were repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, a significant point was made. It says there, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there. He saved them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." The Sabbath was to serve as a memory aid, so that as the Israelite master set his animals free to graze and his servants were freed from their regular routine, he was to think to himself, hang on a minute, this is exactly what God has done for me in setting me free. And you know, as Christians, we too have been set free, haven't we? We've been set free from sin and death. And the Lord's Day causes us and reminds us of this, doesn't it? It reminds us that he has completed the work of salvation and that there's nothing left on our part to do. We're reminded that Jesus became a man, living without sin. He went to the cross, suffered and died in our place and was buried. And on the first day of the week, on that Sunday morning, he victoriously and graciously rose again. So when Jesus said at the cross, "It is finished," he meant that the work of salvation was complete. And this means that in turn, we don't have to try and earn our way to heaven, do we? We don't have to work for it. We can rest. Our salvation is not dependent on what you and I do, but on what Jesus has already done. And we can take time on this special day of the week to thank God that our salvation is all down to his love for us. Then thirdly, having a day to rest from work also provides us with an opportunity to worship our great God. As we saw earlier, the Jews worshiped God all week, just as we should do. But then they increased their worship on a Sabbath, didn't they? You know, to worship together as a church family is a real privilege, isn't it? And God has given us a command that allows us to spend more time in worship. So why would we ever want to take less time? Why do we sometimes choose to do other things instead of coming to church and worshiping God together? Trips to the zoo, or whatever it might be. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's our privilege to come together on a Sunday. It's a day that's specifically set apart. I mean, if we've been working all week, how many times do we consciously stop from a Monday to a Saturday in order to thank God and worship him as our Creator and Saviour? How often do we think of Calvary and thank the Lord Jesus for what he did at the cross? Well, I think, and certainly it's the reality in my life, I don't know about your life, the reality is that during the week we can be so busy and distracted, even as a pastor for part of the week, that we can hardly have any time to think about God and pray. But in coming together, we encourage one another, don't we, to stop for a moment so that we can just look up and worship. Now, of course, in saying all of this, there is no reason to feel guilty if you can't be here. But let's try and make it a priority to have fellowship when we're able to. Luke 4, verse 16 tells us that Jesus went to the synagogue on a Sabbath day, as was his custom. And if Jesus made a healthy habit of it, then so should we. So in conclusion, let me just say that rather than seeing this command as an obligation, let's think of it as an opportunity. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity given by God to take a day of rest and to refresh ourselves, to reflect on and worship our God, our Creator and our Saviour. With that in mind, let me just finish with this story. You see, one day a father arrived home, tired from a day's work. He sat down to relax, and just then his son appeared in the doorway, wanting dad to play. I'm sure you can probably picture this scene. The father, in need of some peace and quiet, decided to give the boy something to occupy himself with. As it happened, in the daily newspaper, there was a large picture of planet Earth. So the father cut it into pieces and told his son to fit it all together. Well, within just 10 minutes, the boy was back. "How did you do it so quickly?" the father asked. "Well," said the boy, "there's a picture of a man on the other side. And when you put the man together, the world comes together too." God says to us, remember the Sabbath. Because although there's a time to be busy, there's also a time to relax, to recharge, and to delight yourself in the Lord. Let's just pray. Father God, we've been reminded this morning that it was part of your creation plan and your great wisdom to give us one day in seven in order to rest, just as you did. Thank you for this privilege. Father, we confess that so often we have perhaps seen this day as a duty, as an obligation. But Lord, you have given it to us for our own good, for an opportunity to take a day of rest, to refresh ourselves, and also to reflect on you. So Lord, may you help us to work hard 6 days a week, but also to rest well for one day as an act of worship and as an act of obedience to you. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen.